Welcome back to Basketball is Religion. I'm your host, Big Matt, joined today by the Gons. Gons, how have you been?
Good, man. Good. It's Friday, so the weekend is coming. I was off yesterday for a little procedure, so the week flew by just catching up on work. And I'm going to a comedy show tonight, so excited about that. What about you, man? What do you got going on for the weekend?
My son is doing technical support for his musical at a school, so we'll go see him there. Then he also has a performance in Monrovia for his indoor drumline. So pretty busy weekend on that end. You have to drive to Monrovia on Sunday at 9 a.m., so not great on that part of it. Who are you going to be seeing tonight at the comedy show?
Is a comedian called Martin Amini. He's half Persian and half Hispanic. It's pretty funny. He gets the crowd really involved, but yeah, I bought these tickets, and I'm sad because I should know this. Instead of buying it direct from Improv, I bought it from some other place, and I was so excited. I paid $100 a ticket, but Improv tickets are $25. It was sold out, so I didn't have a choice. But then he opened up like 3-4 more slots, and ended up paying a lot more than I could. And I'm a little worried because Improv says they're not letting, if they suspect your ticket is bought from like another party, that they will not let you in. So we'll see how that goes.
You should be fine. Money is money. They got their money. Someone else made an extra money off that. You guys should be fine. It's just a comedy show. It's not like going to like the Super Bowl or anything like that. So yeah. You guys should be fine. Today is Luka Doncic's birthday. He's turning 26 years old. He hasn't shown quite the greatness that he showed with the Mavs, but of course he's still getting used to his teammates, still getting used to his new team, moving, all that sort of stuff. He hit this ridiculous three last night. I'm not sure if you saw that one, Gons. He had missed like 8 straight threes and then hit that most, like the most ridiculous three. And he was even, you know, happy that, not even happy, but like shocked that he hit that one. It was like falling out of bounds. Seconds left on the shot clock. Lakers were only up by 4 with like 3 minutes left. Then he hit that shot and kind of broke the spirits of the T-Wolves. So yeah, Luka Doncic, 26. He should be a Laker for the foreseeable future. They should be signing him to the max extension this offseason. He's definitely worth, you know, $70 million. So Gons, if you were to put like a dollar amount for the Luth of Luka Doncic, it's $100 million, $150 million. What do you think there?
I think you pay him what you need to pay him to keep him. They just pay him. Look, it's not easy to get superstars anymore. We talked about stars and we talked about superstars. Superstars, there's maybe 5 to 7 at any given time. All stars, so there's a bunch. Stars, there's a bunch. Superstars, I mean, you're so fortunate to have LeBron, and now you're going to have Doncic. Like, you got your superstars. Don't let him go.
Exactly. You pay what you have to pay to keep a guy like that. Let's start here. As far as the Lakers' defense, they look like, for the last two first quarters against the Mavericks and against the Timberwolves last night, their defense looked phenomenal. Getting into passing lanes, is having a whole bunch of energy. They only let him have, I think it was 17 points in the first quarter yesterday. Yeah, 17. It was 33-17. However, once the energy picked up and the Timberwolves made adjustments, the Timberwolves made it a closer game. They lost Anthony Edwards in the third quarter because of an ejection. He actually got his 16th tech, so he'll actually have to miss a game because of getting his 16th technical. But yeah, so the Lakers, great defensive first quarters the last two games, but have energy-wise fallen off. Is this maintainable, Gons, where they could play well in the first quarter and then kind of fall off in the second, third, or fourth? Or should they make an adjustment and really try to more peak towards the second half of games? What do you think about that?
I think you're seeing the result of a winning team, a team that's excited. And I think them playing great in the first quarter is going to resonate eventually to the second half. So I don't think they need to put their brakes so much on the foot in the first half. I think naturally it's going to come. We're seeing a team that's excited. Again, there's still weaknesses, and I think you're going to point them out when we talk a little bit here. But defensively, they're excited, they're playing hard, and they're winning. So you see what offense can do to defense and how it relates.
Yeah, the weaknesses for this Laker team is still interior I know they're swarming on the interior, but like I said, it takes a lot of energy to be all over the court, which they showed in that first quarter. But it's once the energy drop off hits, and especially going into that third quarter, into that fourth quarter, it's not the same. It's hard to swarm that much. Like, it's hard to have that much, degree of energy throughout the entire game. That's why I kind of bring this up. More weaknesses for this Laker defense is good screening could help. Plus, also, still, Luka Doncic is never going to be a great defender. We saw that rookie, forgot his name, Terrence or whatever, on the T-Wolves absolutely burn him multiple times in the end of the third and fourth quarter. So the Laker defense still can get got. It's good that they're second right now, second in the league in defense over this nice 10-game stretch here. But yeah, the Lakers, we'll see. These next upcoming games right now, we have the Clippers twice today and on Sunday. Then you have the Pelicans with the resurging Zion Williamson. And then you have the Knicks, and then you have the Celtics next Friday. Gons, these next five games are very important, but the Lakers didn't take care of business last night, and LeBron had an issue, potential issue with his hamstring, and Luka was hobbling a little bit with that calf injury. Do you think the Lakers should punt tonight, and how do you think the Lakers are going to be over these next five games?
So they did win, but I get what you're saying. They didn't take care of business. They could have won convincingly early and let some of their stars rest. I the injury report shows that they're playing as of now. We know that could change. I think they should play. Here's why. I don't think you want to get into the culture of what you had before, which was we're going to be timid. We're going to rest some players. We're not going to play them. I know the Clippers are doing it this year, but it just didn't work for the Lakers. Now, if you want to play restricted minutes, I think that's totally cool, but I don't think you sit them out at all. That's just my take on it. I think you got to play everybody. Restricted minutes is fine, but once you start to take them out, people lose their rhythm, and you're so hot right now. Granted, you put your foot on the brake a little bit defensively, but you still won. So I say play.
Oh, okay. So over these next five games, let's say they play Luka and LeBron. I know also Jackson has an issue with his hip, and then Rui had an issue with his knee. So let's say they ran it. They're all playing these next five games. What do you think the Lakers' record is over these next five games? Two against the Clippers, one against the Pelicans, one against the Knicks, and one against the Celtics.
I think they go 3-2. And if when you say issue, like, okay, if they're like legit injured, if it's not sore calf, then yeah, sit out. I don't think you should put that, but sore hip, play. Broken something, swollen something, obviously don't play. But they could go 3-2. I definitely think they're going to beat the Clippers at least once. Boston's, I don't know what happened, they got their ass kicked by Detroit.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. No, for sure.
So the Knicks are going to be tough, but if you're playing in New York, are you playing in – they're playing at home,
No, you're playing in L.A.
They'll beat the Knicks. The Knicks are really tough at the Garden, but I think they'll beat them at home for sure.
And the Pelicans with Zion coming back, and he had a triple-double the other day.
Yeah, one man can't do it all. He's not – I'm not worried about that one. That one's a gimme. So we got the Clippers, Knicks, and Pelicans. Those will be the three wins. We'll probably lose to the Clippers once. We may not. We could go 4-1, but we probably lose one, so we'll probably lose to Boston, realistically. So I say 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, I would be happy with 3-2 in that stretch, regardless of where the losses came from. I would like to beat the Celtics, but, they're going to have that one circled because the Lakers did end up beating them last time they played them. So, yeah, I would be happy with 3-2 because of, especially what happened last night, if they didn't take care of business and... if anything, they should win the second game of the home at home with the Clippers. But we'll kind of see what happens. Before I move away from the Lakers and Luka, there was a story that hit this morning where the Nico Harrison of the Dallas Mavericks had talks with Minnesota earlier this season about a potential Luka for Ant trade that the Timberwolves actually declined. If you were the general manager of the Timberwolves, would you have traded Anthony Edwards for Luka Doncic?
No. No,
really?
No. I don't. Look, we've watched Ant-Man. He has glimpses of Jordan in him. He even looks like Jordan. He's only, 22 years old? I don't see much of a gain by trading him. I mean, the only issues I've seen that aren't really issues is the guy likes to, the guy is like bad bees. He's got a problem, but to reference a Drake song, but that's not a problem for a lot of people. So look, man, other than the guy's good. He's aggressive. He has a good attitude. The people in the locker room love him. Why do that? Like, you have a guy, you said he's your franchise player. Why would you disrupt it and trade for Luka? He's not, there's no indication of him needing to do that. So I definitely don't do the trade. Even though I think Luka is technically better right now, Ant-Man is a superstar and we've talked about, he may not be there yet, but he's definitely on his way, and trading him, risking that Luka doesn't fit, not worth it.
Player per player, I think Luka is better, but I think you're right in the sense that you have Anthony Edwards locked up to a contract. Luka could potentially opt out next year. So if you're the Timberwolves, why would you sign Luka Doncic to be your franchise player only to potentially lose him in 2 years? Because why would you want to stay in Minnesota if you're Luka Doncic? At least with Anthony Edwards, you drafted him. He's your guy. If anything, he'll stay there because of loyalty, even though Minnesota is maybe not the best city to live in. It is really, really cold up there. I actually agree with you. I was thinking about this. I thought, it's a no-brainer trade. But, thinking about, what you were saying and the loyalty aspect of it. Yeah, I mean, trying to find a new place to live and adapt to your new environment. Even Luka's having trouble doing that in Los Angeles. Like, he had just bought a house in Dallas, and now he has to randomly locate to Los Angeles. So it's tough on the players, especially those high-level players who have a lot of property and all that stuff around, the area they're planning to be traded to in a completely new city. So, yeah, I think I agree with you there. Even though I still think, like I said, Luka is a better player, but again, loyalty stuff, and Ant is a little bit younger. He could potentially be a Jordan-like superstar. Let's move on to the Detroit Pistons. You mentioned them beating the Boston Celtics a couple nights ago. Right now, they're sitting at 33-25, the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. They're riding an 8-game winning streak. They beat Boston, like I said, two nights ago by 20. Even though they didn't have Jaylen Brown, they still beat them pretty badly in Detroit. Cade Cunningham, we mentioned him about a month ago when he was going against Jalen Green, is an all-star. You have Jalen Duren, Tobias Harris, Ausar Thompson. Beasley is a knockout three-point shooter that he wasn't with the Lakers, but right now him and Tim Hardaway Jr. are killing it. Isaiah Stewart, Beef Stew, holding down the interior. They traded for Dennis Schroeder, who has pretty good bench minutes for them, and they have a young guy in Ron Holland. And even their star shooting guard, they're doing this without... without Ivy. Ivy's injured, and they're still doing this. Like I said, Cade's an all-star. He's super athletic. Shooters, vets, and young guys. That's the traditional way to build up a basketball team, as long as you have an all-star point guard kind of leading the way. This is goes a long way from the 28-game losing streak from last season. Right now, they're sitting at the 6th seed. Gons, are they a real team or not?
They remind me of the Indiana Pacers last year. Young, exciting, up and coming. They could do some damage. They could. Do I think they can do damage convincingly to win a 7-game series? No, I don't. But I would like I'd love the Celtics to face them first round or soon, because they would beat them up pretty badly, and that's a fact. So do I think they're a contender? No. Do I think that they could give some teams some real bad, some really, 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 I don't want to know, how do I say
it? Make it bad intentions, I guess, yeah. I
mean, or make it really difficult for them in the playoffs? 100%. In fact, if they match up against a team, like, they could match up against a certain team, and they could win the series. For
Let's
sure.
look at those teams, though. Like, okay, as far as teams they could potentially beat that are above them right now. Right now they're at six. They could fall, they could rise, but we'll see. If they play the Cavaliers, Cavs in what, 5 or 6?
No, Cavs are gonna win, but they will give the Cavs
No,
trouble.
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so like,
It will affect them for the next round. But okay, go. Who's
okay, so so Cavs, then Celtics, like you said, they'd give them troubles,
They'd give
right?
them trouble. They would. I wouldn't want them.
The next are the Knicks.
That could be an interesting series. I'm not gonna say the Knicks will definitively win. That one would be fun. That would be a heartbreak for the Knicks, seeing how well they've done this season. But yeah, I think they could take out the Knicks.
Let's say the Pacers stay at 4 and the Pistons are able to go up. Can they beat the Pacers?
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. That would be a I'd probably actually watch that series because I don't really love watching the Pacers, but I would actually watch that series because Halliburton's been a bust this year.
Right. And then the last one's the Bucks.
I'm not gonna I look, if I was a betting man, I would take Milwaukee, but I think I'm not gonna say that they can't beat the Bucks. So I think that's another team that they could rip the heart out of too. So the only teams that again, they would give Boston and they would give what was the other team
The
in Boston?
Knicks?
What?
The Knicks?
No, they'll
Or
be they could
the
beat the
Cavs?
Knicks, the Cavs.
Oh, they think they beat the, okay, yeah.
Boston and Cavs, they will not beat, but they will hurt, cripple, and make it difficult for the future. Every other team, open game.
I don't think, looking at these standings right now, I don't think the Pistons are falling past six, because the number seven seed is the Orlando Magic, who is another disappointing team this season, sitting at 29 and 32. So right now they're 5 games above the seven seed. So most likely you're getting a Pistons, as the six, and then right now you're looking at maybe the Knicks at three.
That's a great
That'll be a
series.
really, really, really interesting series.
Oh yeah.
Unless the Pistons, if the Pistons climb, they can make it out of the first round, because I think they could beat. I agree with you. I think they could beat the Pacers. I don't think they could beat the Bucks. But if they play the Pacers in the 4-5 round, who knows? That could be a thing, and then they can give the Cavaliers a real trouble going into that first round, a second round series. So, the Pistons could be good. They have a really good young core. I think if you look at how good they are, they could potentially have like a top three, young core in the league. I think you're looking at like a Houston. Like, would you rather have Detroit or Houston?
I don't like the Houston coach. I don't like the Houston players, quite frankly. So I'd go for Detroit.
Another young core that's potentially coming up is Victor Wembanyama in the Spurs. Now that he has De'Aaron Fox, you have Shane, yes, not Shane, you have Stephen Castle, you have Devin Vassell. That young core, who would you rather have, the Pistons or the Spurs?
I like Stephen Castle quite a bit. I like Fox quite. I those dude. I love their game, and I got nothing bad. I hope Wemby should have a full recovery. But this is what the Spurs need to do. They need a different type of coach now. You're gonna move on from Pop. Don't bring in his assistant to be the same. Kind of disciplined. Kind of you need someone else. You need a different type of coach here. So I hope they go unconventional, go out of what they've done, bring in a players coach, but also one that's effective offensively. And I think they'll be okay. So I think coaching is the big question mark for that team on how well they're going to do next season. Who's available? Who are they going to get?
There's a lot of different coaching possibilities for them. Maybe they get Frank Vogel, to try to get their defense up, with Wemby and kind of setting him up there, especially if Fox could be an engine. But yeah, like as far as I'd rather have the Spurs just because of Wemby, but Detroit, again, also very talented. So they might have a top, like I said, top three young core you want to have moving forward in the future. You probably want to add another person on the wing. Tobias Harris is good, but he's only good. He's not great. If you're able to add a wing, like a Kevin Durant in the offseason, maybe. Or like a Devin Booker, maybe, to pair alongside Cade Cunningham. You could see a Pistons team that's the top four seed in the West. Because the Suns right now,
are not looking great. Who wants to go to Detroit, though? I mean, no disrespect, Detroit, but it's... That's one place I've never been and I don't plan to go to, man. At least not in the wintertime. Even in the summertime, I hear they've cleaned it up, but...
But, like, imagine if you have Kevin Durant taking Tobias Harris's minutes. Are they able to trade, like, Ivy and a few picks for Kevin Durant in the offseason? Are they a top... Are they better than the Cavs, Celtics, or the Knicks?
I think they're pretty even, Keel, maybe with the Knicks. I still think the Cavs and Celtics are better than them.
Yeah, if they add Kevin Durant?
Yeah, but I don't... Kevin Durant's not going to go to Detroit.
No. He get traded there, like I said.
Yeah, but there's ways to control your narrative. He's not going to go to Detroit. That's not going to happen.
They have to get somebody. I think they're one piece away, and if they want to accelerate their timeline, you get a superstar like a Booker or a Durant now, or in the offseason, because right now they're standing at 33. I know it's an 8-game winning streak. They beat Philly, they beat Charlotte, they beat Chicago twice, San Antonio Spurs without Wembanyama. They beat the Hawks, the Clippers, and the Celtics. Solid run for them, so it's not like it's smoke and mirrors like that Nuggets win streak where they were beating a bunch of lower level teams. The Pistons, I think they're legitimate. That some Cade Cunningham's going to be an all-star for years to come. Congratulations on Detroit for getting back there. It's good when the Pistons are good again.
I would say go after a team that's not in the takes for being. Go after maybe a Tyler Hero or something, because I'll tell you this: people, Durant and Booker's going to retire, son. He's not. He's a Kobe disciple. He's going to stay there. Kevin Durant is going to move, but he's going to move to a team with other veterans where he doesn't have to be a number one. And I just don't think Detroit's there yet. So. Again, go after someone else that you can get that's not maybe a contender. I don't see many other options there, because look at all the other wings that you're talking about. Like, no one – you get Paul George. I mean, he sucked. Maybe Philly will give him up. I don't know. Maybe he'll have a great season. I can't think of anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have Tobias Harris at this point at his contract than paying Paul George $40-50 million a year. That's why I look at Devin Booker, and if you're the Suns and you have your quote unquote big three and you're just not even going to make the play in this season, and you don't have any more draft picks, I would try to get those draft picks back by trading Kevin Durant and trading Devin Booker. This, because you're not going to move Beal. They tried to move Beal. You're not going to move Beal. You're not going to be able to move Beal unless you get back another bad contract. And he has the worst contract in the league right now, outside of Paul George, honestly. So if you're the Suns, I think you have to blow it up and try to tank next season, try to get picks back for your two superstars, because it's not working with the Suns, right? Do you think you try to retool this offseason, or do you be like me and blow it up?
I feel like you already got so many weapons, but I do think Durant wants to leave either way. I know he wanted to see the season out. So with Durant leaving, if you can keep beat, I mean, they're in a tough situation.
Booker's 28. Can you really, does he really want to be on a rebuild team at 28 going on 29? It's his prime years right now. And he could be on this young athletic team with the potential,
okay. Maybe a bunch of picks for you kind of sold me on a thought that he may end up there. Maybe you're right. Maybe he just wants to win after being on this very, very, very subpar Phoenix Suns team. But I mean, the Suns are in the play-in right now. Anything can happen. We saw a Laker team in the play-in win the championship or go pretty far.
The Suns are currently not in the play-in right now. Right now they're sitting at they're 3.5 games back of the play-in. They're 27-32. The Kings are the 10th seed at 30-28. Can they be 3.5 games better than the Kings for the next 3 weeks? And yeah, they've lost three in a row, the Suns.
100% they will make the play-in tournament. And if they don't, then I believe they will blow it up.
Okay, Do you want to bet $20 on that one? I don't think they're making the play-in tournament.
Okay, $20.
$20.
$20.
That's the bets on there. Okay, who's falling off then? If you're looking at the Kings, are the Kings, who are sitting at 30-28, the Mavericks are at 32-28, the Timberwolves are at 32-28. Those are the next three teams. The Suns right now are sitting at 500, or they're at 27-32.
I say the Kings. That's my...
So the Kings with they just got Zach LaVine. They're playing a little bit better. They did lose a lot, but they did beat Charlotte and they did beat Utah. So they've won three of their last five. So you think the Kings with Zach LaVine are not going to make the play-in?
I already made my bet, Matt. So.
Okay. No. Okay. I'm just saying. I'm just asking. If you renege on it, that's fine. No?
I'm not going to be all a right. man that reneges. So the bet's made. You did make a good argument, though. It may have been a bad bet, but hey, I get it. Zach LaVine. Great. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker. I still got faith in him.
Okay. I don't. That's why. I hope we see Kevin Durant go to the if the Thunder lose in the second round, let's say the Lakers beat them, I could see Kevin Durant going there to try to push them over the top. I could see Devin Booker moving to us either to like the, if they're able to get Stephen Castle and a bunch of picks and get him to the Spurs, I could see that. If I could see Devin Booker and then for Ivy and a bunch of picks going to the Pistons. So Booker will end up on a younger, but managing, or not managing, but potential superstar level team moving forward. We'll see. But again, that's if the Suns don't make it to the play-in. But even if they make the play-in, right, they'll beat a 10 seed. They have to win two games to get into the 8th seed to then play the Thunder. So it's like, wow, work so hard to get.
The bet is just them getting in.
No, exactly. No, I get it.
You're saying. There's no chance against the Thunder, but teams get hot. They have the offense to be hot. It's still Kevin Durant, arguably currently one of the best scorers in the NBA. I'm not saying they don't have a dent. They're not going to win the championship, obviously, but I'm not going to say that. There's a reason he wants to finish out the season. He could have been traded if he really wanted to. So
he could be a Warrior again right now.
Yeah, but he feels that there's something there. So if he feels it, then I feel it.
Oh, you're feeling it. You're feeling Durant.
Yeah. I have faith in Durant's decision.
All right, let's move on. We have the NBA, like the NBA draft. These next two drafts are going to be absolutely insane. You have Cooper Flagg out of Duke, 6'9 wing, comparable to Scottie Pippen defensively. This guy's going to be a menace. Consensus number one pick. You have Ace Bailey and... Dylan Harper are also potential picks that are going to be good wing, good guards as well. But Cooper Flagg, number one, moving into this draft. Did you hear anything else on this draft, Gons? Would you take anyone else, Ace Bailey or Harper, over Cooper Flagg?
That's a tough decision, man. I'm probably taking Cooper Flagg. I think he is convincingly the best pick. I was confusing some of the players for the year after, and that.
No, I'll get there.
That one is phenomenal. But yeah, it is going to be Cooper Flagg. I just hope he's not a Christian Laettner type player, you know, where he's good in college and not great in the NBA. But we will see how it turns out. So he's 205 pounds. Again, he is 6'9". Do I think he's worth the hype of a number one? Probably not. But he probably will be pick number one. So,
like, imagine if the Spurs are able to tank well enough and get a lower pick, him on the wing with Victor Wembanyama. God, that Spurs team is going to be amazing. Like, the comp on him is he can't be the number one, but if he was your number two and being your best defender, that's a championship team from everything I heard about Cooper Flagg. Just he could defend the rim, he could defend the wing. He's that versatile of a defender. So
I think you're right. So I am going to look at who the Spurs are playing tonight and bet that they will lose.
Because I don't want to see him on the Wizards. Like, what is he going to do? Him, Alex Saar, and Jordan Poole? Like, that's not going to do anything.
No.
The Sixers, maybe. Like, the other tanking team, the Jazz, do you really want to see another white guy on the Jazz? Like, you're going to see him and Walker Kessler and Markkanen? Like, no. Like, I hope he ends up on the Spurs. Actually, as a Lakers fan, I don't want to end up on the Spurs. The Spurs get another transcendent superstar from David Robinson to Tim Duncan to Wembanyama. And then you get Cooper Flagg. No. Or the Hornets, right? Do you want to see him and LaMelo Ball sort of bending in that corner? Cooper Flagg and LaMelo Ball?
Does that move you at all? That would be fun. That'd be a lot of fun, actually. I already love watching LaMelo play, so that would be a lot of fun.
All right, so we mentioned Cooper Flagg and this upcoming draft, but then, like you said, the next draft, 2026, that's the one where it's potentially you have four potential superstars, like absolute superstars. The first guy I want to mention was the number one consensus number one pick by ESPN up until I think it was 2 days ago. AJ DeBonta, he's committed to BYU. He's a 6'8" wing, elite level shot creator, three level scorer. He can get to the rim. He has a solid ball handling, point of attack. His comp was saying like a Tracy McGrady, and he's compared himself to SGA. When I was looking at tape, I was looking at more of a Jason Tatum sort of style player. The consensus number one on ESPN's big board for 2020, again, this is the 2026 draft, is Darren Peterson. He's a 6'5 guard, could do everything, point guard. Again, it's a big guard, a big 6'5 guard. He's comparable to Brandon Roy. Brandon Roy was so good. People don't remember Brandon Roy.
Amen.
Just because he was so injured. But yeah, Brandon Roy is his comp. If he ends up being Brandon Roy for a longer period of time, great. Another great guard, do everything guard, solid defender. And then you have the guy who might be the best player in college basketball next year. Carlos Boozer's son, Cameron Boozer. He's committed to Duke. He's a 6'9 forward. He's not like his dad. He does have an outside game. Some scouts feel that, you know, since DeBonta and Peterson might be the best on their team, Boozer might not be a number one option, but he could potentially be just a really, really maybe the best number two option. And then a guy that I know you like a lot, Nate Amendt. He's a 6'11 forward. He hasn't quite played in the same types of games as the first three guys I mentioned, but he's a 6'11 forward in the style of Kevin Durant, where he can score at any point on the floor. So, Gonz, I know you had mentioned you wanted to talk about the 2026 draft. Those four guys, after looking at some of their highlights and doing some reading and looking at some videos, those four guys look really good. Out of those four guys, who do you like the best? And talk about these four guys in general.
AJ DeBonta, man, that guy. I like this kind of that we're talking about this because I actually, you know, got to look up some of their highlights. This guy's a beast. This guy will throw it down. This guy has handles. He will cross you up. He is not Jason Tatum. He's much better because Jason Tatum took years to get handles and to be comfortable dribbling the ball. I like him a lot. I do think he probably deserves to go number one. I do like that you brought up Roy with Peterson, because I didn't know when I was watching who he resembled most. For me, it was personally like, okay, he's doing all the right things. He's not really flashy, not doing a lot of dunks, but he's doing all the right things. So I think Brandon Roy is a great comparison. He's probably going to be a player that has a really long tenure in the NBA, so it's a solid investment. Do I think he's going to be a superstar? Probably not. I just think he's your safe bet, right? Going into Nate Amendt, I think he has the biggest upside, right? He's a power forward. He can do a little bit of everything. I think he could either be really good or he could be a bust. So that's how I feel about Nate Amendt.
High ceiling, low floor, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, exactly. And then who was that other dude that we're talking about?
Cam Boozer.
Boozer. He's solid. So if I was to say, he's also a solid bet. He's a little bit. I would take him maybe over. Him and Peterson are like 2-3 for me for sure. And then I'm probably taking.
DeBonta first.
DeBonta right. first, and then I would take. Lastly, I would take I'd have Peterson, Boozer, and then I'd have
Amendt. Amendt. He's skinny like a Kevin Durant. If he could be that level of a scorer, that's going to be crazy. Just because he has Kevin Durant at the twilight of his career, and then you have another guy coming in just like that. If he's able to be that sort of level of a scorer, that's great to have for the league. And with Cam Boozer, I saw the comparison to Paolo Banchero. Is he just going to be another Paolo Banchero, or can he be better than Paolo Banchero? Was a comp for Cam Boozer. We'll see. His dad, again, Utah Jazz, Chicago Bull legend. I wouldn't necessarily say he's a Laker legend, but he did also play for the Lakers. Cam Boozer and Carlos Boozer there. So 2026, that draft is going to be absolutely insane. At least with those four players, we'll see if anyone else kind of separates themselves. But those four players upcoming in 2 years, really good. If you're going to tank next year. If you're the Wizards, regardless, you're probably going to be tanking again anyways. So, all right, Gons, that's it for me today. Got anything else before we leave?
No, man. Who are you taking today? You think the Lakers win to beat the Clippers or no?
I think they punt today. I would give Luka and LeBron an extra day of rest because it's going to be three games in 4 days. They play today, they play Thursday, they play Friday, or off Saturday, and they play Sunday. I would give them today off, let them rest 2 days, and then you go full bore on Sunday. That's just me. So if anything, I would take the Clippers tonight.
Okay.
The Clippers are probably favored tonight. Yeah, they're favored by 4.5. And why would they be favored by 4.5? And it's a Laker home game. So I can imagine, right? Is that the line you have, Gons?
Yeah, so maybe it'd be better to make that bet officially before the Lakers are ruled out.
Well, I mean, I think that line is based because the Lakers are, like, there's no way you're right now you're favoring the Clippers to beat the Lakers if they're at full strength.
Yeah, no, ESPN's not showing me lines. I don't know what's going on. It's frustrating.
No, but I'm pretty sure they know one of them, if not both of them, are sitting. I would assume because you don't want to mess with hamstrings. I don't think LeBron's playing. That calf, he looked a little bit ginger last night. And then Rui, he had a non-contact knee injury. I haven't heard anything yet as far as if he's going to be gone long-term. They need Rui Hachimura. He was a plus 17 that first half last night. That whole lineup of Luka, LeBron, Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, DFS. That's the lineup that they're going to have. That's their best lineup.
The Lakers have won four in a row, though. That's kind of a little bit of a winning streak.
It is. It's a great winning streak, but I'm just saying, like, if you don't, are you really depending on Austin Reeves? Like, they're going to pull the same. They were able to beat the Pacers that one day when they were missing LeBron, they were missing Luka. I mean, but they're the Clippers, though. They're not the Pacers. They're the Clippers, and the Clippers are full bore right now. They're going to have everyone back. Would you really take Austin Reeves and the Motley Crue versus the Clippers tonight? No.
No.
Right?
Again, right now LeBron and Luka are playing. It's 9:00, so we'll see how this goes.
If you think they're playing and you're getting 4.5 points, take the 4.5 points. But I think they know they're not playing. So if you're going to bank on them playing and you're getting 4.5 at home, take that bet right now.
I'm gonna have to do more research.
Right now, also, we talked about the Pistons. Let's figure this one out. The Pistons are favored by 1.5 against the Denver Nuggets. Who do you have in that one,
guys? Pistons are favored against the Denver Nuggets.
The Pistons are favored against the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets just came off a loss in Milwaukee last night. Now they have to travel to Detroit to play the hottest team in the league that we talked about. Detroit is favored by 1.5.
I take the Pistons, actually. I think they're probably going to win. I don't think the Nuggets are as concerned as about winning, as especially on the road. They're going to be top. Dude, that's a good bet. Unfortunately, I don't have anyone to bet with right now, so I wouldn't make that bet, though, if I could. All right.
The last game we have tonight. Well, not the last game, but actually, that's a really good slate tonight. Let's go over a couple of these good games here. The next best game is the Cavaliers visiting the Boston Celtics. It's their last one of the season. The Celtics are up 2-1 in the series for the season. The Celtics are favored at home by 2 against the Cavs. Who do you have in that one?
I'm looking at the injury report. Jrue Holiday's back. Jaylen Brown's back. I know Jaylen Brown's questionable. It just depends if Jaylen Brown plays and Jrue Holiday plays, because Jrue Holiday's been out Assuming everyone's healthy, I'm going to take Boston to win at Boston. But if Jaylen Brown and is out, I'll probably take the Cavs. So it just depends on if Jaylen Brown plays or not.
All right, the last good game we have tonight, we have the New York Knicks visiting the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are favored by 4 points. So you're looking at the third seeds in the Western, the Eastern Conference facing off against each other in Memphis tonight. Who do you have in that one? Memphis is favored by four.
I'm just seeing if Mitchell Robinson's back. It's been questionable. If Mitchell, they've been having issues with the Knicks have been with Mitchell Robinson out in terms of having a big and getting rebounds. But Karl Anthony Towns questionable. Mitchell Robinson's questionable. Josh Hart, let's see if he's back. He's questionable. So with all these players being questionable, I'm going to roll with Memphis.
Yeah. The Grizzlies, they've been playing better. They beat the Suns the other night, but again, the Suns aren't that great. But yeah, the Grizzlies, they're 38-20. I mean, for not having Ja Morant for half the season because of his injury, Triple J, he's probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year. And honestly, it makes me mad because he's going to have two and AD's not going to have any Defensive Player of the Year. And that just makes me angry because AD is a much better defender than him. But Triple J was just a better defender when AD was hurt. Sucks, but that's kind of just how it is. Like we had mentioned, Grizzlies being a little bit deeper earlier this season. But I guess it's helping them now with, you know, trying to get to the second seed, or try to keep the second seed with Ja Morant not playing consistently. All right, Gons, anything else you want to talk about today?
No, man, I'm good.
And that'll be it for us today. Thank you for the support. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.